Hey everyone, this is Sean Yurt-Curran. You've heard me on WYAB on the radio, and you can also catch me on the new Hulu series, Death in the Dorms, Season 2. I just wanted to introduce you all to my law firm, the Yurt-Curran Law Firm. I'm located over in Fondren on Mill Street in Jackson, Mississippi. I've got over 18 years of law practice under my belt, including a decade as a felony prosecutor in Hinds County and at the Mississippi Attorney General's Office. I spent all those years putting bad guys away. Now let me help keep you out. You can call me anytime at 601-906-909. For a consultation, or just if you want to talk about something about your case. I'm committed to helping you navigate the complexities of the legal system, which I know can be difficult and confusing and downright scary at times. Let me help you use my experience to explain the system to you and how it works and how I can best help you. You can call me again at 601-906-9094 to discuss any of this and any of your worries. Trust me to handle your defense where it is going to be my priority and your future will be my focus.
Boom, shaka-laka boom. It's a Fafo Friday here on 103.9 FM WYAB. You got Clay Edwards. This is the Clay Edwards Show. Conveniently enough, I am live today. I took a little, what do they call it, a personal day yesterday. Sean, what do Democrats call a day off? A mental health
day? A day off?
A mental health day.
A day off.
I got fancy new words for I didn't want to work all the time. It's a mental health day.
A 32-hour work week.
I took a spa day yesterday. We got Sean Yurt-Curran, our favorite blue-haired Fondren. Oh, I'm sorry. Bellhaven.
Thanks, man. Get it right. Get the hood right.
Liberal. Bellhaven liberal here in the studio with us for a Fafo Friday. We're going to have a good time today. For all of those folks, all those Jacksonians who always say, crime happens everywhere. Clay, crime happens everywhere. Y'all are going to enjoy today's show. I'm sure we're going to talk about the Goon Squad. I know this is something that, you know, keeps y'all up with belly aches at night and worried about the policing in Rankin County. So we're going to discuss that. We're going to hit a few other things. Sean, I was coming in this morning. First, I'm going to throw a complete curveball.
Okay.
Sean and I are men of a certain age. You know, we grew up in a great time called the 90s. Back where everything wasn't, well, it was offensive, but people didn't realize they were offended, or they didn't have the audacity to say they were offended by things.
Not at that point, no.
No. I was listening to a little PBD clip. Patrick Bet-David got a great podcast. Anyway, I was listening to a clip coming in, and they were talking about spring break in Miami and how basically it is no more.
Yeah.
They have broke up. Miami has broke up with spring break. And they got to talking about kind of the birth of how Miami became the spring break spot. Mm-hmm. And it's black spring break. Let's just say it. That's what we're talking about here. And hey, they call it black spring break, not me. I'm using their words. Don't get mad at me. It started in Atlanta. It was Freaknik.
I remember that in the 90s.
Right? Yeah. It was Freaknik, and Atlanta had enough. I went to a Freaknik.
Did you?
Yeah.
I heard it was a lot of fun. Yeah, that's people. I mean, that's
what, you know, so you can have fun without it being like a normal day in Jackson.
I always heard of the 90s. People had a really good time going.
Yeah, so. Man, they even moved it here one time.
Did they? Okay.
Yep. Notorious Big was supposed to play. It was at the fairgrounds, and there was a hit out on him here in Mississippi.
Oh, okay. And, there was a hit out on him?
I think UGK played instead. I had to go back and find the flyer. Yeah, there was a hit out on Biggie in the South.
Huh.
That was during the whole East Coast, West Coast thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, then eventually got whacked.
This was Tupac country down here.
Okay. That's
right. You know, Biggie wasn't coming down here. You know, Tupac, we kind of, the South kind of claimed him. He owned a home in Atlanta, you know, so he was Southern as far as we were concerned.
I gotcha.
Biggie wasn't welcome downhill.
Well, and then, yeah, Biggie got it too. So.
Yep. Yeah, he did. So, but yeah. So there was Freaknik, and Atlanta decided they wanted to break up with Freaknik, and they did just that. And it moved to Miami, and it didn't take long. And we also have a black spring break down in Biloxi, and the best I can tell, Biloxi would like to break up with it too.
It's been big in Miami for, man, they had
you would know this better.
Yeah,
than I would. You're from Miami.
Yeah, I remember when I was living down there in 2002. That it was a Memorial Day weekend. They kind of had started out doing it there that weekend, and then I think it translated into spring break. It's been going on for over 20 years.
Yeah. So here's my thought process. There's a couple towns that are built for spring break. Race be damned. You know, white, black, whatever. And that is the panhandle of Florida. That's what they do. I mean, you got Panama City, Fort Walton Beach, all through there. I don't understand why a certain group has to go take over the nicest cities in America for their spring break. Like, just use the spring break. Use the cities that are built for this.
You want everybody to go to Club La Vila? Is that still open? Mm-hmm. Am I that old?
Well, it closed after one of the hurricanes, and it just never rebuilt. I don't remember the politics of all of it, but there was definitely some politics involved. So it never reopened. You know, I've heard things about those guys that own that, this, that, and the other, all kind of crazy stuff over the years.
And with Spinnaker's right next to it, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spinnaker's, and you know, you got all that. So I guess my point being, you got all that. You got that that spring break infrastructure there.
Mm-hmm.
Why insist upon going to Miami Beach? I mean, some of the most expensive places in America you can go as a college student, or anybody else for that matter. I understand Biloxi to an extent. It's easy. But, damn, it's not really built for it either. Man, it ain't the Biloxi of old. There ain't a bunch of clubs down there.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the casinos. And that's not – is that really the – I'm just going to be honest, man. Like, a black club versus, like, what you call a crossover or a white club, they just ain't the same thing when it comes to the music and stuff. The black club's got way better music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I
just, that's so true.
Like, if I was a young black kid, I don't feel like my taste is being satisfied at the bar at the Beau Rivage.
Yeah, or like going to Ocean Springs and the little hippie bars. Like, doesn't seem like that would fit either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this. I hope I don't come across like I'm being insulting towards black folks. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to say there's different strokes for different folks. I just don't understand why I go down and destroy Miami. Because if you saw any of the footage that came out from last year, it looked like the BLM riots.
Yeah, I was watching I follow Miami local news a lot, and what they did is they moved him to Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah,
and that area is a little bit more easier for what you're talking about. Like they got a boardwalk, and there's a bunch of bars, and it's a little more spring breaky.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we used to kind of say Broward County is like a little white trashy. It's better now.
Yeah,
but the Miami, the South Beach area where they were doing the spring break, it's kind of like a real high class, you know, like it's elitist kind of thing. It's not a Panama City Beach.
People are pulling up and having their Bentleys and Lamborghinis valet parked.
Yeah, it's
sorry, bro. I don't want to be around a bunch of 20-year-old spring breakers.
You got to have some cash to roll on Miami Beach. Especially South Beach area. You can go to like North Beach, a little different, but like yeah, you got to have a lot of money. It's some high rolling stuff over there, and I mean it's touristy too, but at night it's rather expensive, but if you ever been down there, the setup of that area is not what you're talking about, like a spring break thing, whereas Fort Lauderdale Beach is a little bit more, you know,
and these are very kind of walkable cities, and people like to get the old Miracle Mile, you know, people get bumper to bumper just cruising and stuff. It was just all fun. I mean, it's built for whether you're white or black or whatever, and I don't like this designation of black spring break. You know, I'm like, why does it got to be? Why don't y'all just call it spring break and invite everybody?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, it's
like it's the HBCUs. Okay, well, so you're telling me it's racist. You know, am I invited? Can we do a Clay Edwards show broadcasting live?
I mean, this is going to sound
spring break
kind of bad, but I just kind of always figured that's what the Panhandle was for—that kind of spring break for everybody, anybody.
I'm
not, you know, like Miami. Maybe I'm, you know, being biased because I'm from there, but it's not that kind of thing.
There's a great documentary on maybe Amazon, maybe Netflix. I've watched it. It's about the birth of spring break in Florida and how this whole thing started. And it actually did start down in South Florida.
Did it? Okay.
And they decided they didn't want it back then, and it got moved up to the Panhandle. It was more like Fort Lauderdale.
I thought it started in Fort Lauderdale. I'm thinking Revenge of the Nerds, if you remember that movie. Like, I think Fort Lauderdale was kind of the genesis of it.
Yeah, it kind of started in Fort Lauderdale, and they decided real quick they didn't want it, so it kind of shifted up to the Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
And then MTV got involved, and the rest is history.
Oh, yeah, that was, I mean, I still remember Eminem playing in the 90s, remember Spring Break? I never forget, that was pretty awesome.
I remember seeing Monday Night Nitro at La Vila.
Oh, okay.
The wrestling, for those who don't remember. I was there for one of those.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they had this ring set up over the pool.
Oh, really? Did they? Okay, I didn't see that.
It was neat.
I just remember the Eminem concert. I think it's like 98 that he had, and it was when, I can't remember. The Outkast was there, too. That's right. It was really cool.
And I bring some of this up, man, because I'm just thinking about where we're at in society now, where can we not do stuff like that anymore? I mean, to me, that's just so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what, these days, big crowds also kind of make me nervous. I mean, just with, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's so many crazy people out there now, it seems like, more than there was in the 90s, where I never would have thought of that back then. But now, I think when all these big, I just don't like big gatherings anymore. Maybe I'm old, that's why, but I just don't really like it.
I hope my parents aren't listening this morning, or my daughter who tries to mimic all of my mistakes, minus the drugs, apparently. Love you, Kylie. There may or may not be a photo of me on whatever floor our hotel was on with a balcony, kind of looking at the beach, hanging over it backwards, upside down, with my feet kind of wrapped around the thing. Thank God they didn't the railing didn't break. Funneling a beer upside down, hanging off the side of a balcony. Hell yeah, I'm an American. I wish I had one of those little effects pads in here that I could just hit like I do in my home studio. I think I want to program "Hell yeah, I'm an American" into there. All right. Guns and Gear text line 769-241-1944. 769-241-1944. On the Guns and Gear text line, unknown texter. Every one of them is traveling past one of the best dives in the South, the Floribama. I have an admission to make. I have never been to the Floribama.
Me either. Me either. I've never been. I've seen it. I've driven by it, but
I'm never an Orange Beach guy. I was a Fort Walton. I like the swamp at Fort Walton Beach.
Yeah.
I like Panama City. That whole thing was more my. And I've never done the 30A deal either.
No, I've never. I stayed at. Is it Perdido one time? Mm-hmm. And I hated it. I was like, this is just like a bunch of condos and everybody's packed on the beach.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not doing this again.
That's not my thing. I need clubs.
Yeah. It was my thing. So I've never been back.
Yep. I need clubs. That is what I like. Good bands and DJs. And I don't want to be the 40-year-old guy, but as long as the girlfriend's with me, I don't mind going to the clubs.
Sure. I mean,
I'm like, not going to spring break.
Yeah, I like Pensacola Beach too. Yeah. My parents had a place there for a while, and we go there a lot, and the town is cool and there's other things to do, but I didn't get into that whole Perdido Orange Beach. One time was enough for me.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, it's Goon Squad time. We're going to get to talking about them. 132 total years for the six Goon Squad members. 132 total years. If any of y'all got a crazy, we're gonna weave in a couple different things today. If any of y'all got a crazy spring break story, I would love to hear it. But just getting back from spring break, 601-879-0002, 601-879-0002. Don't forget, tomorrow's the big day. It's the St. Patty's Day Parade here in Jacktown. The biggest after party. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be at the all-new Martin's Patio outside Martin's there. Be sure to check that out. The Mustache Band will be playing live. If you like 90s country, you're going to love the Mustache Band. They're kind of like the 90s country version of the Molly Ringwalds, and if you've seen them, you know what I'm talking about. They get into character, and they really, really do this thing up big. It's going to be a blast. I've got your green shirts. I'm having a special today. I got a few shirts left I need to shake off. But in all fairness, FAFO shirts today only. Pickup only in the downtown Brandon area. $20 a shirt. That's a $10 discount. Black or green. $20 today only. Limited on certain sizes. Holler at me. Let me know, and I'll let you know if I got what you want. Just hit me up on my social media or the Guns and Gear text line. 769-241-1944. Get your green or black FAFO shirt today. When we come back, we got Derek on hold with his spring break story. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by iGear Optical. Get over there and see Bruce and the team. iGear Optical will never hand out glasses like a box of shoes. Speaking of which, I ordered two new pairs of shoes. They should be in today. Bruce will adjust your frames before taking measurements and a second time after the lenses have been installed, and then yet again when you pick them up just to get that fine-tuned and personalized custom fit. And I'm telling y'all, I know I say this. I go off the rail on these ad reads all the time, thinking about personal experiences. But, man, when you get a pair of cheap sunglasses, they may look great.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they give you a migraine. If they just sit on your nose in just the wrong spot, it's the equivalent of feeling like you've been punched in the nose. For me, anyway. You're not going to have that problem at Eyegear Optical. Bruce is going to ask you a lot of questions. You're going to try to get you the best lenses with just the right amount of technology for you, for your wants and needs. Bruce is also going to make sure you select the right frame for maximum comfort, durability, and style that fits your needs. Shawnee, I can envision you like somebody like you have on with the black thick lens with some tape in the middle.
Yeah,
Speaking of Revenge of the Nerds.
Some tape in the middle. Yeah, I actually need to go find an eye doctor.
Allison went to one the other day that was really good.
Really?
Over in Rankin County. Yeah, maybe I'll get find out the name of it. Oh, let's see here. Eyegear Optical is not insurance because we want to deal with you instead of having an insurance company telling us how to take care of you. You got any questions? Let Bruce know. Eyegear Optical, we fit glasses to you, your lifestyle, and your budget. Get your vision in high gear today. Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and on Saturdays, 10 to 2, located right there in the lovely Pearl, Mississippi, 2630 Highway 80 East, eyegearoptical.com. Before we go to the phone lines,
yeah,
we can't mention Spring Break and Revenge of the Nerds without mentioning Booger.
Oh, Booger, one of the greatest characters of the 1980s.
This generation will just never know. Who was the other one, Ogre?
Ogre is the other one, yeah.
Ogre and Booger. Oh, man.
Which would probably not be allowed today. I don't know that you could have the Booger or Ogre character.
I don't even think you could have Van Wilder today.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, would Van Wilder be, like, offensive to women, I guess?
I was trying to remember. He's based on a real character.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's his life story.
Yeah, it's his life story. And I can't remember the guy's name. I looked it up at one time. It's kind of like mixed with, I don't know if it's, he's not mixed with Tucker Max, but it's something similar to that.
Tucker Max, I used to love Tucker Max, and he went full woke too.
Did he? I read his book like 10 years ago, and it's really
funny. Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Did you ever see the movie?
The movie was terrible.
The movie was terrible, but it was still funny.
It was still funny, but it was terrible. The book, if anybody's ever wants to, it's worth it. It might offend some people, but it's a pretty offensive book, but it's great.
All right, let's take it. We got Derek on the line here. Derek, question. Question.
Hold on. Clay, you didn't open up the floodgates with Booger. I got to say it. Bush! God, Bush! Yeah, and open the floodgates with Revenge of the Nerds, brother.
Oh, yeah,
hey,
man.
I just wanted to give my quick Spring Break experience. I was a young deputy sheriff in Harrison County when they had the first so-called Spring Break down there. But I would be fair about one thing, that the response to it was heavy-handed. It wasn't set up for it, but then again, they were just as equally heavy-handed with my Mardi Gras. So I wanted to put that out there from a person who actually worked boots on the ground.
Hey, let me tell you, they were also, down on the coast, they're just as heavy-handed when they bring the scraping the coast show through this gear towards the younger crowd. Way more heavy-handed than they are on a cruise in the coast. It's they're heavy-handed there, but it's more of a protectionism than a preventism, if that makes sense.
I know for a fact that Spring Break and the following year Mardi Gras, they were just as equally heavy-handed with both of them.
Yeah.
Now, that I do know, but I don't think Biloxi and Gulfport was set up for that Spring Break because you only got two main ways in, the interstate and, the highway along the beach.
Yeah, 90 and Pass Road are really it ain't easy. They're not built for it. I mean, they're nice. I mean, I understand. To me, they're built more for, like, one-off special events, like a big concert, stuff like that. But a week of having to close the roads in one lane, I'd hate to live down there and have to deal with that, but that's the price you pay to live there.
And, the police were not on one accord. At the time, Chief Tommy Moffitt, created a special group called the God Squad to help guide the Spring Breakers down there. But you were also the police chief, too. Conversely, there was no communication between Biloxi PD and Harrison County SO. Harrison County SO took the spearhead, but they're the ones that made it fashionable to hire police all around the state to work certain events. Now, they were the first ones to start doing that. I know that for a fact. So, but they were just equally heavy-handed with Mardi Gras as they were Spring Break.
Yep. Derek, closing question here. We're going to go to another caller. Do you think they serve beer in hell?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Do you think they serve beer in hell?
I hope they do. I hope it's a full bar.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Derek. Have a blessed weekend, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. I thought we had a Christy, feel free to call in, 601-879-0002.
I got a text, Clay.
601-879-0002.
Van Wilder is Bert Kreischer, the shirtless
That's right.
comic.
I knew,
he's coming to Brandon.
Yeah, he's great. He did like a spoof movie on his life. Something about where he ends up in Russia and ends up owing the Russian mob a bunch of money. And it's really funny. I actually stayed up late one night watching it on Netflix. It's that old school Van Wilder kind of comedy funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to upset the wokes. It's going to upset the wokes. Y'all aren't going to like it. But if you can laugh and remember that comedy is supposed to be funny and offensive, you'll enjoy it.
Do you think, speaking of Tucker Max, do you think that book could be released today, right now, with him getting a ton of backlash?
He would have to say he's some kind of LGBTQ now or something if he did.
You said he became woke, so what is he defending, his past book or something? Disavowing, I mean?
I can't remember. I would have to go back and look it up. I just remember during COVID, I think he was one of these mask idiots. We're going to talk about them, too.
Because he became
a COVIDiot.
Okay, because, I mean, that book is anything but woke.
No,
I mean,
no.
So that's what I was wondering. I was like, how did he explain writing that book?
Well, you know, that's what ends up happening with these guys, man. They're from the 80s and 90s. They lived this debaucherous lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so they don't get trampled by the woke train. They had to become and atone for their sins.
I gotcha. Like, you know, that's like going to confession. Like, I was this guy that was really cool at one point. Now I suck.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Keith Oberman.
That's a good point.
Let's take a call here. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, you talk about spring break. I'm going to throw something at you about your spring breakers. Respect locals when you come to Dolphin Island or Gulf Shores or Panama City or Destin. I mean, don't be putting 25 mile an hour and 30 mile an hour zone. And for Christ's sake, when you go through the tunnel in Mobile, don't slow down to 5 miles an hour and start looking around and honking your damn people, honking your horn because they want you to go. Clay, every year, every day of the week, morning time and afternoon, there's always a wreck. And it's always somebody either from Texas, Louisiana, or Mississippi in the tunnel, either tunnel. And it turned out they stopped and slowed down, and a local person rear-ended them. It's a 70-mile-an-hour zone. Go through it at 70 and get the hell out.
Amen, brother.
Hey, with regard to this goon squad stuff, are y'all expecting more people to be indicted?
Yes.
With that?
Yeah.
What about now?
Yes, yes, yes.
Who do you think it will be? You think they're all the way up to the sheriff?
I mean, this is just Clay's personal opinion. I have no inside knowledge on any of this. My gut instinct says it would be hard to vision him not.
I agree with that. I mean, it's, of course, we don't know what evidence they have or what the, you know, what's out there, what these guys have all said. I think we're assuming that they're cooperating. That would be the assumption.
Based on the narrative, based on the narrative that came out of that courtroom and some of those speeches, I would be. It looked crafted. It looked intentional.
There was a portion, if you look, and Mississippi Today actually quoted this, and I saw it somewhere else, where the prosecutor read from a memorandum investigation memorandum under seal. So I thought that was very telling that there was an investigation still under seal. They just read a portion of it, and the portion of it was Christian Dedman discussing the culture at the Rankin County Sheriff's Department and how it kind of led him. Like he said, I think he said, "The worse I was, the more I got promoted." Something I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that. So, and that was from a investigation memorandum under seal. So
but
I think.
Sean, let me ask you something. You know, I watch the news there. I see Clay post stuff. I watch the news every now and then on there. Do you? You saw the Brandon chief resign here a while back. You saw the Pearl chief resign here a while back. You think there's a telltale sign there too?
I think those. I don't know anything about the Brandon one. The Pearl one, I remember was. I think he had a health issue, but then there was that story that CJ had out there about the double billing or something to that effect. And yeah. I think it may be related to those two things. I don't know that they had anything to do with the Goon Squad necessarily.
Yeah. 100%. I don't believe that either.
In 30 years, did they surrender their retirement or do they still get to keep it?
Say that again? No, I couldn't hear.
Their retirement. Do they still get their retirement if they had their time?
Well, they passed a law, if I'm correct, I remember about 10 years ago, that if you committed some illegal act while in office, you get your PERS. That's what you state retirement. That's what it's called. You get your contributions back, but you don't get to benefit from being vested. I think that's right. I remember some sort of law like that being passed.
Hey, you guys have a good day. And people, when you go through the tunnel, don't slow down to 2 miles an hour and honk your horn. Yeah. Have a good one, guys.
You too.
Well, if the locals would quit having wrecks in front of everybody, we wouldn't have to go so slow through the tunnel.
Is that what they do?
I don't know. It's like messing with them. Let's take a call. Hey, you're on there. Hey, Christy.
Morning, Clay. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. So while you guys are all talking about spring break, I lived in Fort Lauderdale when spring break started. And it was chaos. We lived in a little sleepy town called Davie. And they had hitching posts in front of McDonald's and in front of the other businesses because everybody had horses. And that's what drove some of the economy was the equine community. So we were shocked when spring break hit and the Hells Angels were not allowed to attend.
And what?
So the Hells Angels came to Davie, Florida. And it was chaos. We're talking like half-naked chicks on the back of Harley's holding Jack Daniel's bottles the whole nine yards. Mm. Well, they eventually infiltrated parts of Fort Lauderdale, and that's where all the, you know, mid-70s college students were all partying, and everything ended up working out real well. I mean, there wasn't any issues. But every year it escalated, and every year the city let it escalate because they didn't know what to do with it. And every year citizens complained. And the economic structure grew, but they still let it continue. So now it continues and became a juggernaut to the point that the city of Fort Lauderdale really didn't want to do it anymore. So they started putting restrictions on certain clubs and organizers, much like what's going on in Biloxi. But the problem is they'd already let the cat out of the bag. You can't harness something you already let loose. And the number one takeaway for the city of Biloxi is they should never have let certain things and certain promoters in there if they knew they had a history. So fast forward to last year, we're sitting at Cruising the Coast. We're right there on 90, and we've got our whole crew with us, racers, people I work with, the whole nine yards. And we start hearing rumors that there are people carrying semi-automatic rifles walking through Biloxi downtown. And these are people supposedly belong to a certain group that were protesting the restrictions being put on Black Spring Break.
No, I know what you're talking about here. It was the kid that got himself climate changed by that cop down there at the Dollar General. That his mom tried to sue the city for $10 billion.
Right. So then this continued to go on. You know, of course, Cruising the Coast, you hear people, you know, cruising up and down in front of you, telling you everything that's going on from one end to the other. And so the rumor just fueled the fire. And now you have restrictions like they had last year. Well, we're down to one lane for safety. That way, if they got to get an ambulance up the other side, they can. If they have to get police from one end of that beach to the other, they can. So that's why that they started portioning that off. So they had a clear lane. But the problem is these cities have allowed these actions to take place. And now they want to backstep and harness them now that they've already let the tiger out. And now the tiger's mad that, hey, you guys let us last year, and you're just doing this because we are so-and-so. Well, that might be, and it might not be. If you all acted like normal human beings, I guess there wouldn't be a problem. But Biloxi's going to have their hands full. They're going to have their hands full this year. Because I got a feeling these people coming down for spring break, they're living for bear. And they're coming down to party and party hard. And they don't care whose property they damage. They don't care who they inconvenience. They don't care what businesses they destroy. They don't care.
Well, now look what they do to their own neighborhoods. Of course, they ain't going to care when they come out of town. Hey, Christy, I got to take my break. Thank you so much. Good hearing from you.
Bye, bud.
Bye. All right, we'll be right back on the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yurtcron. We're shifting gears completely. We're going Goon Squad. Since y'all have already started it, we're going to talk about it. We'll be right back. Welcome back in to the Clay Edwards Show. We're live here on WYAB. streaming worldwide, WYAB.com. Real quick, before we get into the chaos this morning, this episode, this segment is going to be brought to you by my good friend, Steve, over at Reliable Rental Equipment. Guys, I went over there and spent some time with Steven, the owner, the other day. Good, just good folks, man. Love to talk to a guy that's from Jackson, grew up in Jackson, overcame adversity, grew up in Section 8 apartments, and grew up to be a business owner. And I don't mean, this guy went in and built a brand new business from the ground up. These are the kind of folks we got to support. I'm telling you. Radio sponsorship aside, those are the kind of people I want to do business with. It's people who are from Jackson and reinvest in Jackson or wherever you're from. It ain't got to be just a Jackson thing, but a guy that overcame all the adversity that we talk about people making excuses for in Jackson. This guy jumped over all those hurdles and found the right way in life. Those are the kind of people we need to celebrate. Those are the kind of people we need to put up on a pedestal. You know, not these ghetto heroes and thugs and anything like that. You're going to go see Steve, Reliable Rental Equipment, 50% off heavy equipment rentals right now and rollback dumpsters. Check them out online, Reliable Rental Equipment, MS.com. Don't forget the MS at the end, located right there on Meadowbrook Road at North State Street, Reliable Rental Equipment. They got it all from zero-turn mowers to weed eaters to all the heavy equipment, lifts, outdoor lighting, and everything you could possibly imagine. All right, Sean.
Yep.
Let's start with this, man. One of our followers here, and I'm not going to say his name because I'm just reading from his personal Facebook.
Yeah.
We're getting into the Goon Squad stuff here. It's probably going to take the rest of the show. Says, it's sickening to see people supporting drug dealers over in law enforcement, but it's the world we live in today. It only gets worse. I hate that that's how we're framing this.
Yeah.
Is that if you don't support all of the actions of the Goon Squad, you're somehow supporting, and I like this guy, and I'm not picking on him, because that's just, he ain't the only one. It's just a person's Facebook. It's where my Facebook happens to be pulled up as I do this. If you don't, you either 100% support the actions of the Goon Squad or somehow you're supporting the drug dealers.
Right.
There is, in fact, a gray area in the middle here. And it ain't even gray as far as I'm concerned. There's right and there's wrong.
Exactly. No, I 100% agree with you.
I can say what the Goon Squad did is abhorrent, the correct word, disgusting, sick, and unnecessary. And I can also say, and the guys they did it to, if they were breaking the law, still deserve to go to jail.
Yeah.
Like both things can be right.
Exactly. They're not mutually exclusive. I mean,
yeah, he found you with some dope, and then he beat you within an inch of your life. That sucks. I mean, you got out of the hospital, you're going to jail.
I'll tell you one thing, too. I mean, I've worked in law enforcement, since 2008. And before that, I was actually a military police officer in the Marine Corps. And one thing I can say about it, I've known cops my whole life. I feel like being around them, and I've not known any of them to do stuff like this and still do their jobs effectively. And I've had many of them that are my friends over the years that have called me during this whole thing and said, this makes us all look bad, man. This ain't what we're about. So, and these are all good cops that do good, great jobs. And I just, and they've done their job effectively for all these years I've known them. And so this doesn't, you don't have to do this to be a good cop, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You don't have to do this. And I think 99.9% of cops know that.
Yeah, look, I've made multiple videos and talked about it at nauseam on the show about, I do think sometimes you have to live in the gray to get through to knuckleheads like me and worse. But that ain't living in the gray. That's a bloodbath. That's the proper use of the term bloodbath. It doesn't have to be a bloodbath. Sometimes you got to, I ain't recommending hit your girl, but you got to shake her. Wasn't that one of the stand-up comedians? Was it Chris Rock?
Yeah, Chris Rock. I'll shake the S out of a woman. That's what he says.
Some of us just got to have the S shooken out of us a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you ain't got to shove a projectile anywhere. We're probably kids still in the car, so let's make sure we keep it PG-13.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that, but you're right till after the hour. But you and I discussed this privately, maybe a little bit on the air. And look, cops have a rough job. They see the worst stuff that you can see in society. That's what they see every day. And I mean, you know, to a certain extent, even as a prosecutor, we saw it, but not to the level that they do because they're on the ground. And sometimes that requires, and people don't like this, but requires some extra force. It happens. That's the reality situation.
It's why they teach them that in their training at the law enforcement academy. It's when they have the martial arts and the jiu-jitsu and the fighting aspect of all that out there.
I mean, exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. And I mean, they're going after, like, look at Jackson, for instance. They're going after killers every day. That is their job. Every day there is somebody that has killed somebody. I mean, not every day, but pretty much every day. And so that's not easy. I mean, it's not, you can't just walk up to, you know, some dude that killed somebody and be like, hey, sir, would you like to get in the car? I mean, it doesn't work that way. You know, I mean, sometimes they turn themselves in. I get that. But so there are instances where, you know, you have to use certain types of force. But that doesn't require what these guys did. You know, these guys were picking on people that were probably, for the most part, most of them bad people. I'm not saying that they were, you know, the creme de la creme of society or anything like that. But I think I told you that earlier today. When I joke, I mean, do I make jokes about when we used to prosecute drug dealer murder? Sure. Okay. I'm human. Did it mean the same to me when I prosecuted, say, LaTosha Norman's murder, the one that I'm on Hulu for? No, it didn't. I'm going to be honest because, again, I'm human, and that was a girl that got kidnapped. You know, I knew her family while we were working on the thing, and you know, she's thrown in the trunk of a kill, thrown in the trunk of the car. That's a different kind of feeling that, you know, it evokes from you than somebody that's in a dope deal. I mean, again, I'm human. That's just the way it is. Now, did I work on them equally hard? Yeah. And did I do my job? Of course I did. And people ask, why would you prosecute the dope dealer murder? Well, the thing is, we can't just have dope dealers killing each other, and then there's no consequences. We, if you want that kind of society, well, let's just abolish the whole justice system, cops, everything.
I do believe that is a lot of what Jacksonians, in fact, do want, is to be able to, La Cosa Nostra, we handle our own problems. We don't need cops doing it for us. If we decide you're getting killed, you're getting killed, and we don't think we should go to jail for it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think they absolutely want that and live in that society, but we don't live in that society. We can't do that. You know, I mean, even though, like, I don't necessarily have a lot of sympathy when somebody's murdered when they're selling drugs. You know, I mean, I just don't. And
I'll say it again. It's a two for one. But you get a jail, you get one thug in a grave, and you get one thug in jail.
Yeah, and then we used to call them that all the time. And so, but I still did my job because you have to enforce the law, and that's the main primary thing for society to function orderly. And that's here. So whether, you know, people like the victims in this Goon Squad case or not is irrelevant to what these guys did to them, I think.
So. Yeah, no, it's it both, again, just circling back, but both can be right. You know, being glad that they're off the streets does not mean I'm supporting the drug dealers or the just bad people that got roughed up. Like, I'm not turning the two dudes out there at that house in Braxton, Michael Corey Jenkins and the other guy. I'm not turning them into martyrs.
No.
I'm not building those guys a statue anywhere like they're some new civil rights icons. I do firmly believe that initially there was some effing around and finding out going on. And it just took way too far.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't just randomly go out there. I don't care what the narrative says. I don't care what came out in court. They didn't. This whole thing that somebody called and said, there's just two black guys hanging out at this white girl's house. Can y'all come take care of this? Mm-hmm. That, I don't believe that. I'm not going to believe that. Multiple times, those dudes were told to stay the hell away from there. Not just because they were black. Mm-hmm. Now, this has turned into this black-white thing because, I mean, the headline that they gave, what's his name, yesterday?
Hartfield.
Yeah. Gosh dang, man. They just sent him into jail with a bounty on his head. The headline reads, former Mississippi police officer gets 10 years for racist torture of two black men. Mm-hmm. Gosh dang. Could you have said any outside of rapes young black girl, could you have said anything worse for a guy heading into prison?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, they... Yeah, I mean, I saw you told me the headline. And you obviously, since we know all the other victims, or everybody's either white or black. I mean, the point I'm making here too. The central theme of this was that the people that they were attacking were were people that either were, you know, low income people, maybe into drugs. It seemed to be fit a pattern. You see what I'm saying? It said fit a pattern of those. So, you know, people using meth. I mean, there's a bunch of meth heads. That's what they did. So,
well, in closing on this, we got to go. We'll go to the top of the hour. They were equal opportunity offenders.
Seemed like that. Yeah.
Did they make racist comments this night? Apparently so. But were they doing it because they were racist? No. If that's the case, more than half of the other victims wouldn't have been white.
I mean, I think they were racist, but they also were equal opportunity, you know, mess arounders, right? I mean, I think they were definitely racist, but like they also would mess with you if they wouldn't discriminate either. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Boom goes the dynamite. It's hour two on a FIFO Friday. Hey guys, three words for you. Burgers, blues, barbecue. Get over there now. They got breakfast going. Try the chicken and waffles, the homemade chicken biscuits. I mean, those ain't no frozen biscuits. This is like that empty, this ain't no empty pan of biscuits like Andy Gibson had the other day. These is homemade biscuits, cat head biscuits, right there at Burgers, Blues, Barbecue, Chicken Biscuits. Mm-mm-mm. They also got pancakes. Anyway, two locations of the three have breakfast. That's going to be right there in Main Street in Madison and Dogwood Shopping Center, Flowood, Mississippi, right there on Lakeland Drive. They got the breakfast. They've also got lunch and dinner. Of course, downtown Brandon, my little honey hole, has lunch and dinner. They got the B3 Dive Bar. You got to go check out the B3 Dive Bar. It is so, so cool. I love it. It's my favorite little spot. And they got the huge patio out back there. So if you got a big birthday party, we did my daughter's birthday there back at the end of February. Had 30 people, and we didn't take a dent out of it. You can fit 300 people out there easily, I do believe. It's where I've had my Christmas party and stuff the past 2 years. Anyway, check them out. Burgers, Blues, Barbecue, the Burger of the Month, the award-winning Burger of the Month is the Bacon Jam Smash Burger.
That sounds good.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what bacon jam was. It's actually what I ate for dinner when I went to my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
I'm like, what have I been missing? But only Clay can turn a $10 burger into a $30 burger. I add extra meat, I add this, I add that. I'm like, $10 burgers, $30.
I don't eat, you know, burgers a whole lot, sure, a few times a month.
To do with it.
But it's my favorite food. It is. I know it's simple, but yeah.
You get bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the different kind of buns there you can choose from.
Yeah.
You get bread, you get meat, you get cheese, onions. It's like, it's basically like a casserole by the time I get to building a burger.
And have you ever really had a bad time when you order a burger and a beer? Like, that's a good day always. If you're having a burger and a beer, like, it's a good day.
It is. All right. So I want to jump back into something real quick. So, you know, what would you, Sean, what would you say hell is? Like, what is your version of hell? I mean, be serious on this.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like, man, there are probably many versions of it. I would think I would have many versions of what that would be.
So what I've heard people suggest is the one thing you hate the most happening to you over, like Groundhog Day, kind of. It may not be this fiery lake like we're told, but it could be you stuck if it's having the idea of catching your significant other cheating on you.
Yeah.
You have to see that every day for the rest of your life and feel that hurt constantly every day for the rest of your life, or the rest of eternity, I mean. Pick anything. We'll just leave it there because I could get R-rated with that. But Christian Deadman.
Yeah.
Christian Deadman got 40 years. The most, almost about double of anybody else. I think McAlpin got 27.
Yep.
Deadman got 40 years. He is heading into, based on what the claims that he did, sexually assaulting people, he is heading into prison for 40 years, and most likely, once they figure out who he is and what he did, that exact very thing is probably going to happen to him every day for the next 40 years. Sean, he is literally going to be living hell on earth.
Yeah, it's
he is going to pay for his sins daily.
It's not going to be good. I talked to a friend of mine that had worked at the Bureau of Prisons the other day about what kind of would be the conditions of confinement. And, you know, he told me that they do their best to protect people all they can. But, you know, a lot of times these guys have to no choice but to join a gang. You know, I would assume the whatever Aryan Nation or whatever the gang is. I don't know the gangs. Would be something you might they would probably have to pick.
Simon City Royals.
Yeah, to protect themselves.
What the irony to go from being a Rankin County cop arresting and abusing Simon City Royals to attempting to have to join them. I've heard, and this is just scuttlebutt, do not take this with anything more than a grain of salt, that the SCRs already may have a hit out on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I bet because he's messed with them so much, huh?
Yeah, and look, that's just scuttlebutt, white trash nonsense I hear.
Sure. It makes sense, though.
These people may mean nothing, but it's just the fact that they're uttering things like this, and he's heading into a prison, and they may not have an SCR in that prison. Mm-hmm. You just never know. That's all I'm saying.
Well, like I was talking to you on the phone this morning, can you imagine you're Christian Dedman and you got sentenced, you're 29 years old, and you got sentenced to 40 years, and Fed's around 80, 85%, so I think I read some calculation this morning that he'd serve about 34 years if everything worked out well for him. So that means he's going to be, what, 63, I guess, when he gets out? I mean, I don't know how you mentally prepare for that. You know what I mean? Like, I'd almost be like, can you give me the death penalty? Like, I don't know. Like, you miss your whole life. You know, your parents die. You're like, it's I don't know. It's something hard to even fathom.
Your kid doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Kristen texted in, and she said, I want to make sure I read this because I think it's good. And one thing about this, I've tried to be courteous of the families that didn't ask for this. And Kristen texted in and said, I feel sorry on the Guns and Gear text line because I feel sorry for the Goon Squad's wives. If they had them and their children and their kids or wives should get their retirement or whatever they had because they didn't ask for their husband or dad to be a dumbass. And now they have to struggle financially without the second income or child support the moms were getting. Just my thought. I'm embarrassed for them, and they will have to live with that. They will have to live with what they did. I agree with her, and I know a lot of people aren't. That's just the price you pay. I get it. You're not wrong either. But people tell me I don't have empathy enough. I actually do for the families here. They didn't ask for this.
No. No families of people that commit crimes ask. You know, I've dealt with many of them. They don't ask for it.
A lot of them do. Those are the ones I think that should, when they're minors, do certain things, that they should carry some of those charges. I know I said that last week, so I don't want to be hypocritical here. But in cases like this, when a grown adult decides to go and do this stuff, that's a decision they made. That when their wives didn't raise them wrong, you know, unless they were co-conspirators in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't always control what your kids do, your parents, and then their wife or your spouse or all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so it's hard to, you know, you don't want to put on the family. And then in Dedman's case, he specifically has, you know, another family member who I've discussed before on the show that, you know, our office prosecuted back in 2011, 2012, Daryl Dedman, who ran over James Craig Anderson, which was a race-related crime, actually.
Which is actually this Dedman's cousin.
This Dedman's cousin. And this Dedman, Kingfish, has got a really good article, if anybody wants to go to Jackson Jambalaya, about the sentencing discussing this. And it's a Christian Dedman was in the courtroom in 2012 when Daryl Dedman, his cousin, was sentenced to life. So
he's actually got a picture, if I remember, I've got a picture of him crying.
I think that's right. I don't remember. I was there that day, but I didn't know who Christian Dedman was.
I've seen the picture, and I want to say the picture of him, he's got his hands in his face crying when they sentenced his cousin.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder. I hate speculating because I don't want to roll the whole family on the bus, but it just makes you wonder, did he have resentment from that incident and hold it and carry that into his law enforcement career?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, but I tell you what Daryl Dedman did was, I mean, you saw that video, right? You remember the video when he ran over James Craig Anderson. I mean, it was so, they were out looking for someone to do that to. And I remember I was not the lead prosecutor on that. There's a guy actually, I can call him my name because he's I think he's proud of it. We all should be proud of him. His name's Scott Rogelio. He works over at the Madison Rankin DA's office, and he prosecuted Dedman, did a great job. And that, you know, it was really, really horrific. I mean, it was just really horrific crime. And so I don't know what resentment, I mean, maybe Christian's resenting the system, but I don't know how anybody could have objected to what happened to Daryl based upon what he did, you know, because it was that bad. So
if that happened today, they would burn Brandon down. But they would try. Brandon would defend them. And I say Brandon because that's where they came from to do it. I believe that if that very incident happened today, there would be a civil war between Jackson and Brandon.
Are you talking about the Daryl Denman incident?
Yeah, and caught on film and all that.
I mean, because that was a race related crime.
Yeah, and that was pre social media. I mean, I know MySpace was around, but
Facebook
but it wasn't video available on demand. I mean, it just
not like now. It's not certainly in the last 12 years things have changed quite a bit.
There's the picture of him. He is crying. So thank you to whoever sent that picture in on the Guns and Gear text line. Let's see here. Reaganken says, Goon Squad shooter did not get enough time. He and the Goon Squad member with the fetish both should have gotten about 40 years. I don't disagree with that. I was frankly surprised to see him get 20 and then Deadman get 40. But like I got up here on the show the other day and said myself, if I'm that guy that one of the guys has happened to, and you blow half my mouth off, and then you get some penetration against my will, I'm holding the penetration on another. Like if I only got one choice, I got to pick. One guy gets 20 years. One guy gets 40 years. We'll just use the actual numbers. The guy that the penetration guy is getting 40 years because I'd rather be shot than have my manhood snatched.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No kidding.
I mean, I know that sounds terrible. You're like, oh, Clay, you're being hyperbolic. But I'm just saying, knowing the outcome, knowing that he didn't die, I think I'd rather be having to get my jaw wired up than having to relive that. And then what, he put it in his mouth afterwards?
Yeah, I think so. Man.
Sorry out there if you weren't prepared.
We're past the school hour. The kids are out of the car at this point. Yeah, how much time we got? There's one thing I wanted to talk about, the sheriff's statement.
We'll get to it in the next segment.
Okay, great.
Let's see. Let's read a few more texts, and then we got to go to our break, so we kind of stay on schedule somewhat this morning. Jake says on the Guns and Gear text line, says you have to think, what did that last couple of Deadman generations do so horrible to make the current generation turn out so broken? I mean, look, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes you're just a product. Sometimes you're a product of your environment, and sometimes that environment ain't in the house. You know, the rest of the family maybe solid gold. You never know. You know, so I want to be careful about dropping an entire family in the grease here, but there's definitely some questions there. I think that's fair to say. Unknown texture, credit equal reduction in time. So good. I think some of them got credit for ratting out others. Credit equal reduction in time served. Well, yeah, that's what we kind of hinted around to in the first in a conversation earlier in the show, was based on some of the sentencing, especially when you look at Deadman's. Mm-hmm. You really have to wonder, was there some cooperation? And then you go listen to some of their statements, and it feels like that cooperation was setting up a narrative to paint Ryan Bailey into a corner.
100%. I don't think there's any way anybody that can read any of that and not see what the narrative is, that there's a culture that was created by the sheriff. I think that's what the U.S. Attorney's Office is trying to craft, and the FBI. Just my opinion, but I think anybody can plainly read it. And then again, I said in the last hour about the memorandum, a sealed investigation memorandum that they read from, that indicates to me, I don't know if we get Chris Hinkle to text in on that, but that's an ongoing investigation. And I assume that only leads to one person, would be my impression of that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with Sean Yarkaran on the Clay Edwards Show. Phone line 601-879-0002, Guns and Gear text line 769-241-1944. Be sure to get out to Guns and Gear today. Big weekend extravaganza going on right there on Highway 51 North at Yandale Road in Gluckstadt. Shop them online, gunsandgearms.com. They're the home of No Limit Ammo. They can take care of all your gunsmithing and Cerakoting needs as well. Of course, they got your guns, and they will buy your gun from you for fair market value. See them today. Guns and Gear. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by Foremost Foundations and Construction. For foundations, Foremost uses innovative polyfoam technology that, with great precision, can in fact restore sinking concrete quickly. They provide solutions for the long term that can improve the ability of the actual soil to support the foundation or concrete slabs. Thanks to their specially designed rigs, they can drill and lift without the need of heavy excavation. That's where you save money. The team has decades worth of experience. They've tried it all the old tricks. They know what works. They know what doesn't. They've weeded out the crap that doesn't work. They're experts in foundation repair, polyfoam, drainage, seawalls, and retaining walls. ForemostFoundations.com for more information. That's Foremost Foundations with an S, plural, foundations.com. One more time, foremostfoundations.com. Check them out today for all of your foundation needs. And I mean, look, man, it may not even be your house. Maybe you got a driveway that's sinking. You see a lot of that with these concrete slab driveways. They get all out of whack. That polyfoam can fix and protect that. So let them come out there and check it out for you today. All right, Sean. Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Had your mic off.
Cool.
Some people, say that's a good thing.
That's probably a good thing. Keep my mic off.
Let's go into Bailey.
Yeah.
You want to read his statement?
Yeah, he made a, if anybody didn't see this, I can't imagine anybody didn't see it, but he.
Actually, I didn't. I missed this.
You did not? Okay. He made a statement yesterday, released a statement, and, you know, I'll read it real quick. It says, everyone in Rankin County, whether a resident or a visitor, should be able to live, work, play, and conduct their life without the fear of having their constitutional rights violated. In January of 2023, criminal conduct by individual former deputies injured citizens in our county and undermined the reputation of the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. Because the safety and security of everyone in Rankin County is a primary concern for this department, we fully cooperated and with all investigative and prosecutorial efforts by federal and state officials. As a result of those efforts, those former deputies are being held accountable for their actions. Every law enforcement officer takes an oath to serve his or her community, safeguarding lives and property, and protecting the weak and innocent from deception, intimidation, and violence are just a few objectives of our deputies. Violation of established rules and regulations will not be tolerated by this department, and anyone who violates the law will be brought to justice. As a duly elected and acting sheriff of Rankin County, I will remain committed to the betterment of this county and this sheriff's department moving forward. Together with the honest, hardworking men and women currently with this department, we will strive daily to make this community a safe and more secure place to live for everyone.
And I find it funny he only mentioned, funny is probably an appropriate word, ironic maybe, he only mentioned the January incident.
Yeah, not all the other ones. And
those are just ones we know about. And I'll be honest, you know, all I ever am is honest on here. I could probably quit saying that. Sometimes I'm wrong, but it doesn't mean I'm not being honest. You have to know that there's so much that we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's safe to say.
100%.
And Sean, I'll be honest. I don't mean to keep saying that. I was a little indifferent on this thing initially.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hear it so often, and I'm going to make this race-related for a second here. So often you hear black folks, you know, come up with these crazy things that they claim happened to them by the police, or and it's proven to be a lie. Hands up, don't shoot.
Michael Brown.
And just every day in their people's lives, trying to get money, trying to get a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to be honest. This checks off every box of a hoax.
It's the boy who cried wolf syndrome that happens.
It is.
You know?
And I didn't believe it. And that's why I never talked about it until it didn't. Not only did the indictment drop, the guilty pleas came with it.
Yeah, the bill of information. No, it wasn't even an indictment. Yeah, they went. They just pled guilty to a bill. So yeah,
it was like at that point, I was like, okay, hey, I was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. And that's when it really opened up my eyes to an extent. And then I said, well, this is just a small sample size. This a couple of bad guys doing something. You know, they'll pay the cost for their actions.
Yeah.
Then, and keep in mind, like my whole gimmick, my whole effed around and found out gimmick is pro-police.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a gimmick, but you know what I mean. The videos, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real. It's who I am. But, you know, the entertainment side of it is all 100% based on being pro-police and people effing around and finding out what happens when you mess with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other 27-page document that we leaked from the New York Times came out with the 20-plus victims.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, is it really this bad in Rankin County? Or is this really what they're doing to, air quotes in the studio, keep Rankin County safe? Is this really necessary? Because there's a lot of other safe counties around here.
Sure.
Outside of Hines, or outside of Jackson. Hines County is relatively safe outside of Jackson.
Yeah, we got a good sheriff in Hines County.
You got a good sheriff, and, you know, we got good police chiefs in Byram and Clinton, mm-hmm. and some other places. You know, is this what you have to do to keep a town safe, to keep a county safe? And I don't 100% do not believe that's what you have to do to that extent.
Yeah.
And I keep going back to living, you know, there is a gray area. There is a gray area. And there is. And I will, that can be my hill to die on. But this far exceeds that. And it really made me question, you know, when you read all that, like, man, am I on the right side here a little bit? And I know I am. I know these are, you know, there's some bad apples, and maybe there's some systemic, there's that word everybody likes so much. Maybe there's some systemic.
Never heard you use it in a positive context, or not positive, but you know what I mean.
It ain't not racism.
Right.
So just some systemic issues over there at the sheriff's department that empower people to think they can do these things mm-hmm. without consequence.
Yeah.
And like, I've been a supporter of Brian. I still think I'm still not going to sit here and just 100% roll him under the bus and act like he's done no good. What he's done with his prison ministry stuff.
It's great. The jail out there has run really well too.
The jail, you know, I'm not going to sit here and just say, well, because this happened under his watch that he's got a front row seat to, in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. I can sit here and say, okay, I can compartmentalize things too.
Yeah.
Did he do a good job with this? I 100% believe so. I know too many people involved in that prison. I'm just calling it prison ministry stuff because there's a lot of prison church stuff. I think that's doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly think it is. His trustee program is good. Now, there's all kind of rumors about trustees being used to work at places and this, that, and the other. And if all that's true, it will, in fact, come out.
Mm-hmm.
Until it is, I'm not going to sit here and say that it is. But you see the trustees all around Rankin County doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's a lot of good that's done, too. When something this bad happens, does it completely negate all of that? In the public eye, it does.
Yeah, I think the public eye, it does. That's unfortunately, but it does.
Yeah, but as a citizen in Rankin County, it doesn't to me. Now, with that said, does Brian Bailey need to go? I don't know how he stays.
Yeah, I think everybody in the community feels the same way just from anybody you talk to. I mean, I'm just going to use people out there listening.
And I'm not trying to sugarcoat it because I deal with these people or anything. I'm just, that is just from the heart how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know how he stays. I mean, I think he's staying now because that's a bargaining chip for him with the feds. That's my assumption is why he's staying. But I think everybody in the community has the same thoughts. I've not heard, or I've heard a very few minority of people say that, oh, he should stay. But 99% of everybody agrees. And the thing is, I think the longer he stays, the less safe Rankin County actually is, because people trust the system less. And whenever they do that, it makes all of us less safe. I think that's a problem.
I think that brings a great point. It's like a dark cloud hanging over
mm-hmm.
Rankin County. I've talked to a few of the guys off duty, you know, off the record, I mean. And some of them said, hey, man, I'm kind of embarrassed to wear the uniform.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe not embarrassed, but the people looking at them differently when they see them inside somewhere.
Sure.
But they're looking at them, and they're not respecting the uniform. Used to, it was like, you know, you want the uniform to demand respect. Now it demands fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how you want to police a community of overwhelmingly good citizens.
Right. You want there needs to be like a partnership with the citizens and the police. And I mean, that's what you'd want. I'm not saying that works out that way all the time. But but now there's just I mean, I feel bad for those guys that are working there having to deal with that, too, because, I mean, these are guys that didn't do anything and they're just trying to be good cops. And now their jobs are they're less safe, you know, because of this. Because what if somebody is in a car and they pull over and you get pulled over by the Rankin County Sheriff's Department and the guy gets nervous and he doesn't know what they're, you know what I mean? It just creates all this tension, I think, that makes the police less safe too and sets them back, you know, from what, you know, from where they were. And then that's just bad for everybody.
You know, I've seen a bunch of comments that say now Rankin County is going to turn into Jackson and this and that. It's not.
No, I mean, is so, Madison Jackson? I mean, yeah. I've never heard about any of this going on in Madison. I mean, yeah. So.
You know, weeding out bad apples doesn't make the place less safe.
No, absolutely not. It's going to make it more safe when it's run properly and people have confidence in the system. You know, there's so many, we're talking about this off air, there's so many great elected officials in Rankin County, too, that they're having to suffer for this because they're part of the system and they don't deserve that either. And they're doing a good job. They're all working really hard. And it's just this has caused that kind of cloud. Once it's gone, I think the county's gonna be able to repair its image, you know, slowly but surely, elect the right sheriff, get it fixed. I think that'll, you know, that's hopefully will resolve all the issues.
Well, it ain't like Jackson is going to get any safer. So it'll still be the center of attention. And I mean, that seems to be the battle, right? It's like, Jackson, Rankin County. Jackson's not going to quit killing one another. Crime ain't going to stop in Jackson.
No.
So it ain't like Jackson's going to become this safe enclave. Rankin County's still going to be a great, safe place to live and do business. And you just know that, hey, if you think you're going to come to Rankin County and be a criminal, there may always be an element there that's going to make sure you're not.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of Brandon police, Pearl police. I mean, the DA's office is a good DA's office. Like, everybody's safe in Rankin County. You don't need, you know, Christian Denman out in the middle of the night doing things he did to be safe. That you don't need that. So Rankin County is going to be just as safe as always is. Once there's a new sheriff, it'll be even safer.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Sean Yarkron and Clay Edwards on 103.9 FM WYAB. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. We're live here on WYAB. Guys, don't forget, A1 Gear and Auto is the Clay Edwards Show FAFO bumper sticker stop. I went by there yesterday for a second. They probably got 15 or 20 left. There was over 120 bumper stickers when I set them over there Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning when I told y'all where to get them. So shout out to everybody with their FAFO bumper stickers. Get over to A1 Gear and Auto today for all of your automotive repair needs, whether it's your front end, your back end, your rear-wheel drive, your front-wheel drive, your all-wheel drive, your ring and pinion. Maybe you just need a battery. Maybe you need a starter, brakes, your vehicle's running hot, air conditioner ain't working, heater ain't working. What does all that equal? It equals A1 Gear and Auto can fix it. They took care of my grandmother's car for me this week. And I don't know if they offer this service for everybody, but then just like in the little immediate area there, she lives three houses down from his shop. You know, they went and picked it up and dropped it back off for me. I mean, just personal hometown service. And everybody wants to know a mechanic. That's one of the questions I get asked more than anything. Clay, who's a good mechanic? I'm blessed to know several. Mm-hmm. And A1 Gear and Auto is absolutely right up there at the top of that list with just – Sean, you know what I'm saying, man. We're going to get back to the Scoon Squad stuff. But when you get something diagnosed right the first time, and they say, all right, that's Monday afternoon. They got to drop it off Tuesday morning. You know how much it's going to cost you. That's nice to know. You know he's going to tell you when you need it, when you're going to have it back. He's like, all right, man, tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, it's ready. You know, you're a one-car household.
It's an important – I've been going to the same mechanic for, like, 15 years. Yeah. I mean, it's important.
Your one-car household, you got to work out the logistics of getting there and knowing when you're going to need a ride. You're not just waiting on standby. Like, all right, I'm just waiting on them to call. Let me know when it's ready. I'm just waiting on them to call. If he tells you it's going to be ready at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, it's going to be ready at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You can get an Uber, get dropped off, whatever you got to do. Unless he calls and tells you, hey, we had a issue with the part or something.
Yeah.
Your car's going to be ready. He's going to give you plenty of heads up. And, man, that just means the world. When you're trying to plan your week and you're a busy individual and you're a one-car household.
Sure.
Anyway, A1 Gear and Auto, Highway 49 South, Florence, Mississippi. Going to save money. It's going to be diagnosed right, on time, and it's going to be fixed right. Check them out. Heading south on 49, their big white building, big red sign. Stop by and get one of those last couple FAFO bumper stickers. I'll announce next week the next sticker stop. We're going to spread it around to some of our sponsors here. All right, Sean.
Yep.
There's a headline. We're going to ride this out for a minute. Okay, hold on. I want to say one thing.
Mm.
And I know I pout about this a lot, and people get tired of hearing it. But, for example, you can, y'all know that we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Sure.
Like, I feel like we have probably talked about this Goon Squad thing at length anyway, more than anybody else.
Probably more than any other, I guess, radio outlet, I would say, definitely, right?
I mean, we've dedicated multiple full shows to mm-hmm. it. If you follow me on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, you've seen my videos about it. I don't know how much more I can cover this. And I constantly see this stuff online where people who refuse to go look at my pages before they tag me and things saying, Clay, why ain't you talked about this? I did a show the other day, Sean, called What Grinds My Gears.
Yeah.
That grinds my gears. At least take the time to go look on the places, sometimes on the very platform you're tagging me on, crying about I don't talk about something. Now, I know that the people listening to the show are not who I'm talking to. I'm just kind of venting a little bit here. It's mainly Jacksonian Democrats that don't take the time to actually look at the page to see if there's anything on there before they tag me in pages crying about it. And I'm going to highlight one specific individual who used to be in media around here. Mr. Jay White is the guilty party this morning, former radio host, former employee at Mississippi Public Broadcast, a guy who I actually have always liked, made a collage of Goon Squad stories, news stories, mm-hmm. links, and then just put on top of it, Save Jackson, insinuating that I ain't seen these things, that I haven't talked about these things. I mean, I've talked about it to the point that there's listeners who think I'm anti-cop. I'm pro-truth.
I mean, I can't, well, you know, I mean, I'll say this on air. How much have we personally talked about this case for months? I mean, I feel like it comes up every day.
Yeah.
And especially when that New York Times stuff was going on in November when we did that. This thing has been, I mean, I think we've dissected this more than anybody. I mean, Kingfish on his blog has done a really good job. But the local media, they just put an article up, you know, when something happens. But we've talked about, even sometimes when we're having a show and it just comes up and we start talking about it. I mean,
it's like, this to me, I don't like doing the little short form videos on this topic
mm-hmm.
because it's too big of a topic to do a short form video on.
Yeah.
It doesn't play well to short form video because it is layer after layer. It needs to be peeled apart like such. I'm
sure.
Sorry that I can't muster up the energy to make a 60-second snarky video about it because it's not a 60-second snarky topic.
No, it's really not. I mean, I don't know. That's just stupid. I'm just saying, as much as we've talked about this thing and just gone back and forth on it forever, and I know obviously it's in the media this week because of the sentencing, so that's why it's being brought up again. And by the way, I mean, like I was telling you at the break, we ain't done with this, and not just what's going to potentially happen with Brian Bailey, but there's, you know, from what I think is the worst kept secret in Jackson, that the New York Times has got a series of articles that they're doing that are going to be coming out. I mean, it's I don't know what they are. I don't know what the subject, I mean, the subject matter is this, but I don't know what the specifics are.
Yeah.
So we're all going to see this, more of this. This is not the end of it. And I'm sure we'll cover that as well when it happens.
I mean, this is the end of it for now.
Yeah.
Like, today's going to be the last day we talk about this until something else
mm-hmm.
arises. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about, but I want to give this its due justice.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair to. Shifting gears away from the Goon Squad for a minute, because I did want to hit this today. We got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
The girl that killed her mom out in Flowood the other day.
Yeah.
Now, since that story came out, and I tiptoed around it the other day because I wasn't 100% sure. I was getting some information, but I wasn't sure. Now I'm all but verifying this. The girl was trans. She was living as a boy.
You're talking about the Oklahoma case?
No.
No.
I'm talking about the Flowood case.
Oh, the Flowood case. I'm sorry. I was reading that article last night, and that's why I was...
The 14-year-old girl who killed her mom and shot her stepdad,
mm-hmm.
name was Carly. She was living as Carl. Her Instagram bio had her pronouns in it. He, him,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Gotcha.
Was living as a what would that be, a trans man, I guess. And this is just a guess on my end, that she looks like she's on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of that autism.
Gotcha.
It all checks out. You're stereotypical. I don't know what it is about kids with autism. they get drawn towards this trans stuff. They get sucked in online and they get radicalized. It's a very sad situation. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that she was probably on some kind of antidepressants. And I put this out there. I said all this in a video. Then lo and behold, if Liz of TikTok doesn't pick it up. And Rolls did the same thing.
Oh, they picked it up?
Well, not me. They picked up the story. And then, of course, everybody's, oh, Libs of TikTok said it. I'm like, I said it 2 days prior to Libs of TikTok. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not trying to get into a pissing contest about who called a 14-year-old trans first. But it don't take a rocket scientist to look at this and figure out what's going on here. Okay. Somebody's just got to have the cojones to actually speak the truth and not tiptoe around it because it's a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on. And whether I'm right or wrong, I'm going to get on this antidepressant SSRI stuff. One of our longtime hosts here, Mike Madison, has always been on this. He's done the research. These antidepressants that they're putting these kids on at a younger and younger and younger age, I've got a story Monday I'm going to tell you all about. A couple mothers have reached out to me since I posted my video with their nightmare stories of their kids being put on SSRIs mm-hmm. at a young, young age. One woman woke up to her 15, 16-year-old kid at her bedside with a knife ready to kill her.
Yum.
And she had, the only thing that woke her up is she dropped the knife, and it woke her up.
I'm glad you brought this up. I just watched a whole thing about this recently about how, you know, we've just medicated our brains into this state now of, like, you know, we've got to be in this state of constant joy. Not that I'm a psychologist or anything, but I was,
you're never supposed to feel sad anymore.
Yeah. And so immediately it's like, pull out the, you know, antidepressants, and it's got to have some sort of impact. Of course, I'm not an expert in that field, so I don't know how to, you know, mine's all speculation, but
same.
It's kind of like this Ozempic thing to me.
Yeah.
Like you're taking something, you know, like this to, like, change your, whatever it does to reduces your hunger. Is like a diabetes drug, is that correct, or something like that? I mean, and, you know, people are losing all this weight. You got to think there's going to be some health consequences to that. I mean, just my common sense is telling me that there's going to be some health consequences to taking this down the line. And I feel the same way about antidepressants. Like, there's just got to be some health consequences down the line to doing that.
Hey, look, I did it for 3 months. I took it when I was trying to tighten up a little bit, and I felt like it was deteriorating muscle too.
Talking about, you took what now?
The Ozempic stuff.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Like, I took the compounded version of mm-hmm. it. And, you know, I felt like it was creating a little no butt at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me. You know, everybody's different. But I've seen people who have now been on it for like a year or so. They're skinny, but they don't look healthy.
Yeah, my dad took it for a year, and he finally got off it. And he just said it just made him feel – he lost a bunch of weight. And he's like, it just made him feel really weird. And, you know, he quit taking it. And he said one of the reasons he did, he said, I didn't want to drink anymore. And he's like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. Circling back to the SSRI thing, I'm gonna tell y'all some stories Monday. That's probably going to be the lead topic of the show is we're going to dive into this trans autism stuff and – what SSRIs are doing to people. And I think it's time to start holding these doctors accountable for over SSRI. That's your antidepressant medications, for those that aren't sure what SSRI is, your Zolofts of the world, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I think it's time to start looking at these doctors who prescribe this, just like we look at doctors who overprescribe opioids, because we are creating a nation of zombies. And for whatever reason, just through my algorithm, all of this seems to be making people very woke too. Could woke literally be a mind virus caused by SSRIs? Sean, let's take our last break of the day, and we'll be right back.
Gotcha.
Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Guys, get out and support these great sponsors this weekend. Acme Pizza and Daiquiri for all your pizza and pasta needs, daiquiri needs, Burgers Blues Barbecue for everything. Try their blue plate today. Get down to Martin's downtown tomorrow. St. Patty's Day is the big one. Mustache Band playing live. Going to be a huge party. I've got less than 20 green Fool Around and Find Out shirts, FAFO, with the G.I. Joe logo. I've got less than 20 left. Get at me, 769-241-1944. I will meet up with you today somewhere in Rankin County, and you can get yours by tomorrow. I'm done. No more. Y'all enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. Stay blessed. Podcast will be available here shortly. Sean Yerkeron, thank you. Be safe this weekend. We will see y'all back here, same time, same place, Monday.